Okay.
Okay, so thank you very much for inviting me here and giving me a chance to talk here. It's a very wonderful city, and yesterday I walked around the many beautiful places around the city. And it's a great pleasure to meet many researchers that are here. And today I want to talk about context SL2 representations of node groups. And this is a joint work with Rand and Ben sitting here. And yes. And so this is just concerning the quantum deformation of the SL2 representation of the node group. And so we have to start from the building a presentation for a closed brain, and then consider about the SL2 representation space, and then introducing the predicate operator, because the usual representation space it comes from the dual of SL2, so the representation space constructed in the ring of the coordinates of SL2, and the representation space means that the coordinate ring divided by the ideal generated by the building a presentation. And popular one is the SL2 character variety, but SL2 character variety is the invariant part of the SL2 representation space. That's the subspace which is invariant under the Hadamard action of the node groups. And so this representative space constructed in the coordinate ring of SL2, and the coordinate ring of SL2 have a natural propagation structure. So by looking at the dual of the usual SL2 representation, then you can see a space of Hopper algebra corresponding to SL2 representation. And here we deform a little bit about the Hopper structure of the coordinate ring. And then deformation is called the quantized predicate SL2 constructed by Sham Majid. And by using this predicate SL2, it seems to give a good quantum deformation of the usual SL2 representation of the node group. So first, I want to recall the built-in presentation of node groups. And for node theorists, the built-in presentation is very popular one, but maybe some are not known about this one. Usually if you have not like this way, then we assign the generators x1, x2, x3 for each overpass of the node diagrams, and then assign a relation around this place, it means x2 comes from the x3 conjugated by x1 and x1 inverse. This is the relation at the crossing. And we have three relations for the three crossings. And then,
sorry, the generators, they are assigned to arcs, right?
It is assigned to each arcs, yes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And relation, the generator corresponds to each over arcs, and relations comes from the each crossing.
So mm-hmm.
Just consider this loop as a product of these loops, and then you get such relation for each crossing. And okay, it's just given by x1, x2, x3, and the relation comes each crossing, like this piece. And this is called the building up presentation of the node group. And then group is presented like that way. Yes. This is the first step. And then I would like to deform this presentation by using break picture. So, yeah, such note can be included as a break presentation. So, we have three crossing like this way. And so, this trefoil can be presented as the closure of this ray. Yes. And then, just assign here I assign y. And y1 and y2 for the half on the bottom. And then, this y2 comes here, but this one. Becomes y2 be like to the inverse y1 y2 and this is becomes something and that is the same one but this is also presented by y and y2 this element can be expressed like this way and this these elements correspond to the upper part is presented by phi 1 to phi n. Yes, so this is a word of the generators by 1 to by n. And the relation of the knot group is given by that this upper, this phi I corresponds to the upper edge must coincide with the generators corresponding to the lower. So the building of presentation can be formulated like this way by using the brain. Yeah. This is the brain version of the building of presentation. Yeah. Okay, then this presentation can be this is the original fundamental group of the knot group. And then, if you replace the group to the SL2, then this gives the SL2 representation of the knot group. Just setting the element row y1 to row yn, the element of SL2. And this will satisfy the relation like this way. So, yeah. And then it gives the SL2. Representation. And this row 1 to so we have row I can be a set to element EI. If you could write this way, then this presentation gives a relation among the AI of each by values. Row I, and so this gives the algebraic relation between among the elements of matrices, and so this is a algebraic relation among the matrix element, and so this gives the ideal of the matrix element. So. For C of SL2 means that the algebra generated by ABCD, which is the element of SL2, and then this relation gives the ideal generated by these relations. And then just divide this tensor space of the polynomial ring over the element of SL2 divided by this idea. This it does not depend on the presentation of this pylon. And yes?
So you don't consider equivalence classes of representations?
No, here we don't need this. If you conjugate this representation, then another things. And so it is called SL2 representation space of this phi 1. And we want to switch this previous picture to be interpret this relation as a Hopf algebra terminology. So we start from the matrix element like that way. And this has a natural Hopf algebra structure from cell 2. And this Hopf algebra structure is presented like this way. So, so this C of SL2 can be considered as a set of functions from phi 1 to 3 minus k to complex number. And so this is a dual of formal linear combinations of elements of groups. And so this space of functions naturally has the Hopf algebra structure like this. So Hopf algebra is a usual algebra with co-product and co-unit and antipode. And this co-product just comes from the product of the group element. So, so the element of C of SL2 considered as a function on SL2, and this function, the co-product of this function is the, just the f of the product of x and y. So this delta f considered as a function of the tensor of these two things, but the value is given by the product of x y, and this gives the definition of the co-product. And the antipode corresponds to the inverse of the group. So S of F is given by F of X inverse. And coint is given by just the value at the unit element. One means the unit element of the SL2. So this is the identity matrix. And then we can define this true map of the phi. The phi is the map defined from the bottom of the grade to the top of the grade. And if you consider the true map of phi from this function space to this function space, then this dual map is presented like this way. So here I let me introduce the diagrammatic convention for building a presentation. So if you look at from bottom to top, this is group case, and then every element goes, this element changed by the inverse, so this inverse of the right element times left element and times right element. So this data corresponds to the conjugated, and alpha doesn't change for this term. And for inverse crossing, the same. But if you consider the dual of this picture, then you get a function from alpha tensor beta to function like this one. This because the product is correspond to co-product, so the upper part. This part is the product for the original group, but it's co-product for.
Sorry, I'm a bit confused. Kind of, it doesn't look like conjugation, I would imagine for conjugation alpha, shouldn't, like in the first formula, shouldn't it be between the S of beta 1 and beta 3 if you want to get a conjugation? Like the, in the formula under the
yes,
the second picture.
Yes, I add right. Yeah, this is two pictures, but the original one is just this one. If you, these two elements are grouped, then delta and alpha are the same.
Yeah.
And the gamma changes to beta by the conjugation.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. In the formula, it doesn't look like conjugation. For the conjugation, alpha, I thought, should be between S of beta 1 and beta 3.
But it's commutative. The algebra is commutative.
Oh.
I'm sorry. It's not
based. I don't know. But then if it's commutative, then there would be not much of a conjugation. Right?
No, you make three copies of alpha.
Yeah.
One goes its way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's co-commutative.
Yes, it's alpha, and in the group case, yes, if you consider the formal combination of group elements, then this formal linear space also have the Hopper structure. Mm-hmm. But in that case, in group case, the co-product delta is just to change the element to x, to x tensor x, the diagonal map is a popular. And so here in the group case, this presents the diagonal popular.
Yeah.
So it's x for these three. Mm-hmm. And this s just gives the inverse of x.
Okay.
So this x inverse, and this will be y, and this is x. And so this picture presents the conjugation of the group case.
And so phi is the Artin representation of the Wöhler.
Mm-hmm.
Capital phi is the Artin representation of the Wöhler.
So capital phi is just for group one, from bottom to top, and the dual of capital phi is the map from the top to bottom, and so this is map from the coordinate ring to the tensor coordinate ring to coordinate ring.
It is the same because if you take the graph x on the function x, so it acts on the representation space. So it is the action of the graph on the representation space of the function x.
Action of
So can I interpret phi as a Artin representation of the graph?
Yes. So I've read out from this tensor space to the tensor space. Mm-hmm. So this gives a great group representation on this tensor of the coordinate ring. Yes. In this case, we look break from top to bottom, coordinate ring from top to bottom. Phi star gives a map from top to bottom between representation spaces, and this top element and bottom element should be the same element to give the something invariant for a knot. So this bottom and top are connected if you want to make a knot or a ring. So let us consider the ETL generated by the phi star minus identity in this space. And this is here, JP. JP is a ETL generated by this one. We for all, but we have to put all elements of this space, and then divide by this ETL. Then it's the SL2 representation. representation of S of I1 of Z, not complete. If you don't divide this one, then it just gives the representation of braid. But if you consider this ideal and divide this space by this ideal, then it gives the representation space of the notebook. And such a construction is also can be generalized for any operator, any operators. So here we just start from SL2, but if you consider any commutative operators and consider such a conjugation action for this space and divide by this idea, then it gives some space which is invariant for K.
So again, do you mean commutative or co-commutative?
Commutative. This is commutative. This is a kind of function ring. So it's a function ring of groups, so it's commutative. And so sometimes the group is not commutative, but when you consider the dual, so in this case, the whole algebra is not co-commutative. But in this case, it's commutative. It's just for function. Now, I want to generalize Hopper algebra to braid Hopper algebra. So, what is the idea to make braid? Please look at this crossing. So, in the previous pictures, we have such crossings. This is just the permutation of the tensors of Hopper algebra. And here is the permutation. But in the braid Hopper algebra, this permutation is given by not permutation but braiding. That's a generalization of the Hopper algebra. Permutation is different from the usual one, but other operations are same as the usual Hopper algebra. And this is the operations, and these operations satisfy these relations. So Hopper algebra has many relations, and but first one is just associativity. It's not sometimes Hopper algebra is not co-compatible or not compatible, but we assume that all Hopper algebra are associative and co-associative. That relation is this one. And this one, I forget the name of this relation, but it's a kind of the essential relation of the Hopper algebra. And product and co-product can be changed its order, but it becomes such a crossing. And of course, this is inverse relations, and this is a relation for unit and co-unit. It's unit and co-unit kind of trivial things. And this is just for relation for inverse or antipode. So if you get group element G here, and then you get G tensor G here, but one of the G is inverted, then it becomes G inverse G, and product of G inverse G becomes 1, and this diagrammatically represented by the product of unit and co-unit, like this way. And then this is just braiding with, actually the braiding, and this is the relation for the antipodes, and the rest is a trivial relation for these operations. It's a little bit complicated, but all relations are very natural relations, and natural generalization of the usual properties. And so this one is the kind of conjugation action presented by this picture, but this conjugation axiom is present like this diagram. And then we can easily check that the adjoint tensor adjoint, the commutativity of the adjoint and the copula, and two conjugation can be changed to a conjugation by the product. It's if you consider the group case, then you can check the conjugation. And then I'd like to introduce some extra conditions which called Breguet compatibility, because in the usual popular algebra case, I said that the construction of the representation space can be generalized for any Hopper algebra with compatibility. But in case of Breguet Hopper algebras, instead of compatibility, we introduce the Breguet compatibility relation, and it's a generalization of the compatibility of the usual case, and the definition is that such a relation holds. So, if you have a conjugation like this way, then another element comes like this way, then this string can be replaced by this simple string. This is graded compatibility. And if this is the usual permutation, then you don't have to care about the overcrossing or undercrossing. So this string is just the permutation. So this permutation just keeps like this way. And compatibility means that this this string is the same as this string. So this is a generalization of the compatibility. And if you assign this great compatibility, then we also have these relations. And this is a messy definition of the Breguet SL2 introduced by Shan Majid. So you are very confused with this definition. But this T, the parameter T is the quantized parameter. And if you put T to be 1, then it just go back to the usual SL2.
So, yes. Sorry, I don't quite remember. How is it this this braided algebra, quantized algebra of functions is also braided commutative, right?
So
is it braided commutative? This
algebra, and so this algebra is a braided commutative. Mm-hmm. It is an example of the braided commutative, mm-hmm. Braided Hopper algebra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you put t to 1, it's the usual 1. And you don't have to remember about this definition, but I just want to say that there is one example of a great of algebra which is a non trivial one.
Yes. So there is one parameter of t.
Hmm?
There is one parameter of t.
Yes, only one parameter. Okay. And then this great SL2 is a great commutative ones. And then now I want to construct the quantized SL2 representation. Yes. And it's very simple. So for the usual crossings, we assign the conjugate action like this way, and for the inverse crossings, we just assign like this way. Yes. And yeah. And then just assign. So this means that if you have a crossing of braid, then it's if you assign a, if you have the, this crossing is a break, then it is represented like this way. Just this is break, and this is the presentation of the predator operator. And just put like this way, then this actually gives the representation of the break to this endomorphic of the predator property. Here, A should be a predator property. And such kind of construction of the break representation is in the usual case, from its constructed such kind of representation around 1991. And then, yes, and I like show some relations, and this relation about this is the relation for inverse. And yeah, we have that action and these strings, but this string can move like that way. Yes, this comes here. It just move like this way, and then go down to this one, and goes like this way. Yeah. And then. we already have something. If you have this one, then if you push this inverse to the bottom of this one, then this diagram will be changed. About this. S come here, and so if you look this S inverse to push like this way, then it's twisted. This S is twisted like this way and split into two parts. And, but S and S inverse cancel each other, so these two diagrams are equivalent diagrams.
Should the S not be on the other side?
So it's not the inverse of this one must be equal to so this one must be equal to this one. This is just
twist here. Right. Yeah.
And twist. So we have to add twist here, so this S inverse is not placed right. S inverse here, then it's easier to see.
You're right. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, this comes from this relation. And then we get these pictures, and then this two conjugation is replaced by the product of the element, and so this part is replaced by this product, but this element and this is the very population of the Hopper algebras for antipode. And so this part vanishes, and so we get this diagram and this straight line like this way. so yes, it's if you're accustomed to compute like this way, then it's very fun to look such formulas. But yeah, it's time. But everything comes from the relation of this picture. Okay. And the next one is the relation for the brief relations. That's like matrix 3. And it's very complicated, and so it's time for you. But the essential part is this start-stop part. It's start-stop part. This means that here is the representation of a crossing. This is R. This part corresponds to crossings. And the left most and right most, the comparing these two, this means that this kind of the action of conjugation or co-conjugation or co-adjoint, this co-adjoint action commute with the crossings, so it's commute with braiding, not braiding, but some kind of R at the crossings. Yes, so this commute to things, and then if you replace deformate this diagram like this way, then we have crossing here and to coordinate action here, and it commutes to like this way, and then in this situation assures that the invariance of Kaiser-Meister's 3 moves. Okay. And then we get the breadth group representation in the endomorphism ring of the tensors of the breadth of algebra. And then, in the case of the usual of algebra, I like to introduce the ideal ID, which is generated by the element rho b minus identity minus n. But this identity so IV. IV is the ideal of a tensor N, which is generated by rho v minus IV tensor N. But for any x1 to xn, where x1 to xn in the sensors of the plate of the this is meaning the ideal ID. Yeah. And then in the case of plate of algebra, it's not a commutative algebra, but if you assume that it's braided commutative, then first, if you define this ID as a left ideal, then the braided commutativity assures that this left ideal becomes a two-sided ideal. To show this act, we need the problem lemma. This means that if you have a plate like this way, and a product this is x, and this is y, right here, and x here, and b here, yes. In case of Hopper algebra case, we look from top to bottom. Yeah, in case of group, we look from bottom to top, so it's dual, so we look from top to bottom. And so top, two tensor of x, tensor of x and y, the product, consider the product. The product is defined like this way, and apply this rule B at this point. But then it is equal to dx dy and get rid of after all these things. This right hand side means this picture. Yes. And so how to prove this? To prove these things, we only need to show for a single crossing. Okay. So for the single crossing, I have a diagram like this case, and then here x1, x2, y1, y2, something like this, and then we can divide this crossing for each thing. So I have a picture like this case. And then the braid commutativity assures that this component gate can split into this multiplication and it split like this ways. And then it can be deformed like this. This crossing to be the bottom of this multiplication becomes here. And then this by using associativity, this path goes to this race. And so the essential part is to split this conjugation to go over this multiplication. And then this picture is equal to this picture. And so here we have R corresponding to R's for each part. So we start from R and then we get R here. So we see good for the lemma. Okay. And then this here becomes the two sides.
So what does this prove that the IDL is two-sided? Why does this prove that the IDL is two-sided?
And then if you have the idea of generated by a And so this means mu of y tensor idx.
Yes.
And then then it equals to mu of the plus y tensor x. So this this rho b can be switched to the left hand side. This is the meaning of this relation. Just to this R inverse to this R to the left hand side, and this is, this relation is equivalent to this relation. And then from this one, this is equal to so the inverse y bar minus y bar multiplied by it's from the left as from the right, it's contained in the EDR. Mm-hmm. But this element is also contained in the first EDR. Mm-hmm. And so this element multiplied from the right also belongs to the same EDR.
So it's a consequence of the proof of the Riemann, not a consequence of the Riemann itself. It's a consequence of the proof of the Riemann instead of a consequence of the statement of the Riemann.
Oh, it's a consequence. This is consequence of this Riemann. Because I put this rho b, for both rho b, but this rho b can be moved to rho b inverse at the left.
Okay.
Yeah. So this means that if you left it there, then it also becomes right. And the yes. And the essential part is that this quadrant action comes with the multiplication of the Hopper. Okay. Yes. Okay. So the EDR becomes the two-sided EDR, and then this serves as if you consider the closures of two braids, which is gives the same knot warning, then the AB1 and AB2. That's just AB is the algebra defined by the quotient of the original tensor algebra divided by the EDR. This algebra doesn't change for the presentation of the knot. So if you have two braids, and then you have two algebras, one constructed from the first braid, and the second one constructed from the second braid. But these two algebra is the, must be isomorphic. And so this algebra can be considered as a representation space of the closure of the braid. Is it all right?
You just can you explain why the moreover, so the moreover part, the second statement in this, right?
Is it,
yes. Yeah. So why the so the commodule correction story is related to the first Markov move. This is what you are saying.
As I, it's a fast Markov move.
I don't remember.
Yes, of course I have to show that the equivalence for Markov moves. Yes. And this is first Markov move and this second Markov move. And yes. And the proof for the first Markov move is obvious, I think. And of course the invariance for the second Markov move is non-trivial. And this part is and so I want to explain why it's the equivalent doesn't change by second Markov move. Yes. And to show the invariance by Markov second move, I have to introduce some notions. And so it's so yes, first I introduce the PDL starting from this element, but then and divide by the Heidegger means that it these two things must be the same in the quotient. So instead of this relation, I write the equivalence relation like this way. Yes, and in the group case, we have x1 to xn and something phi1 to phi n, and but here x1 to xn and x1 to xn, and what we get is that n phi I must be equal to xi, and then to reformulate the relations, it's called the T transformation for the representation of groups. The T transformation means that you multiply some element from the right or left or these relations. So if you multiply xi inverse from the right, then it becomes one. So I would like to similar things on the diagram. So if you have if you assume that this element and this element should be the equal on the quotient, then you also consider something like this one. Then in the right hand picture, it disappears. Just becomes like the left hand becomes. But in the left hand side picture, we have an element like this. So, this element must be equivalent to this element. This is the meaning of the T transformation of the presentation group. And so, then, in our case, adding this element. Means that we multiply from the right at this point, and here we consider the right multiplication here, and this doesn't change the idea because this is the right idea. So, and so what is the relation we are considering is these relations, because we first assume that this one we start from a1 to an, a1 to an, then we get something here must be equal to a1 to an. Now this is the first relation, and then a1 to an k can be any element of the A tensor space of A, and so you can change this sum of AI to be SAI, and then it must be SAI, must be same. And if you switch like this way, but then it must be same. So I write D1 and D2 to it means two diagrams we put equivalent. So if you have two diagrams like this way, then if you assign S at the one string at the top, it also still stay in the same equivalence diagrams, and so these relations are also, and we also have such modifications. So if you have this diagram, if you add one string like this, then you can also add, you add this string for both diagrams, then it correspond to the digit transformation to multiply the xi to the first relation. Yes, this xi is multiplied from left to the first relation. So this corresponds to digit transformation, and the result still gives the equivalent element. And we need multiplication from the left and multiplication from the right. And so, but the ideal is a two-sided ideal, so it doesn't change these operations, doesn't change the ideal. Okay. Then, and then I equivalence the part of move down by using this relation. Yes, for part of move down, then you have read, I must write read more, but we have read here. Like this one, and this must be equivalent to the identity.
Bug of move 2, right?
Yeah. Oh, 2, yeah. Right. Thank you. And, yes. And then, this is the original braid form, and we are considering about the braided Hopf algebra representation of the constant. In the braided Hopf algebra case, we have to add a joint rationalizer. As every crossing in the P also added this kind of strings. Yes. And the equivalence is for these two diagrams. And this one is the same as this one. Yeah. So first, I want to add one. And this arc from the right.
But you have to repeat B on the right hand side. Hmm? You have to repeat the bright B on the right hand side. So with the bright B is
no,
this.
No.
Hmm?
Yeah.
B. So why B is not on the right hand side?
This is to point that's ideal.
Yeah, but start from this braid and consider the ideal generated by B this way, sigma M B. Yeah. This is some sigma B minus identity of M plus 1 tensor density. No. Rho sigma mv minus identity of this braid, we have to consider this detail. And we are concerned about A tensor n plus 1 n plus 1 divided by I less sigma p. This algebra. This is a representation space for this braid, and this ideal is presented by the layer like this way. And then we apply this operation from the right, add one string with S like this way. Then this path is replaced by counit and unit, and this part, this red arc is disappear for instance, so we get this diagram. And next, I would like to apply like this element and this element. Then in the right, we also have this element, but this is a counit and it's almost trivial element, so it's split like this way. But this is absorbed in the usual string, and so the right hand side doesn't change by adding this string, this path. But for the left-hand side, you must be experienced to such deformations, but it's both like this way. This is a abbreviation. This one should be equal to this one. So this part is written like this way. And then if you go past from this over, if you push S to height, then it's changed to S again, and here. It's not large enough, but if you go this way, then you can split S to be of this one. So S push to if you commute with S as to multiplication, then it becomes this picture, and so we get this picture here. And then this string, by using the co-associativity, then it becomes this string. This string goes to this case and goes this case. Here we use co-associativity. And then, of course, we can also use co-associativity. Associativity here, then we get this diagram. And then this becomes this part, this up here, like this case. Yes. Okay. And then, we apply this foreign from the left, apply from the above. Yeah. We get the right on the top. Consider this path, and then here we consider this path. Yes. And then this one, this S and this path just cancel each other. And then this right hand side will become just straight line here. And this left hand side becomes like this trivial one.
Is there a way to say more conceptually what we're using? Because, right, we're not expected to understand those diagrams, right?
Oh, yes. And I have to write it in the algebraic way?
No, I mean, just conceptually, what's the main thing you're using? Because, right, I mean, it's relatively complicated drawing that you're
yes.
doing now real time.
Yeah.
Let's say I declare I don't understand it, but
it's very complicated. But what I want is the resulting diagrams. If you consider the element presented by the left hand picture minus the right hand picture, this difference generates the same idea that first. So this idea is also presented by these two diagrams.
But that's the result, right?
Yes, this is the this part of the diagram will be the projection from this one to sigma B. Yeah. I have to make a projection PN from this one to this one. Then this diagrammatic computation shows that this projection gives the isomorphism of these two algebras. That's what to say. And then, if this isomorphism is shown, then invariance for the bulk of second group is proved. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And that's the main result of what I want to say. Yeah. And the invariance for Rademeister 2 and Rademeister 3 move is rather. It's still complicated in the diagrams, but it's a kind of trivial computation. But that kind of computation from a second move is this part is complicated, and the last step to make good projection from this algebra to this algebra is not so trivial, and it's actually something new, I want to insist. And that's what I want to say here today. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is it your son's side?
Yes, that's yes. And this is just an image. And this is just kind of example for Hopf algebra. Yeah, and they form like this way, the equivalence can be deformed like this way, then after that we will get very popular relation on the fundamental group of the complement of Hopf algebra. This means that xy is equal to yx. If you get this one is a usual permutation, then just tells that xy commute x and y commute the median for two components commute each other, and this is the quantized version of or graded version of the relation. And if you perform having some string from the right, if you perform the theta transformation for this diagram, then you can also get this diagram. This diagram means that x inverse y inverse x y is equal to 1. The right hand side means just 1, and the left hand side means that x inverse y inverse x y. So this is the great version of the commutative relation of the complement of Hopf algebra. And the computation of the chaos just draw this forward induction like this way and compute like this way by using the these relations are some relation corresponding to the field transformation of the usual group presentation.
So the construction is not just for Linux, it's for Linux.
Mm-hmm.
The construction is for Linux, not only for Linux.
Not only for Linux, but also for Linux.
Further questions? Well, let us thank June again.